me, let's take our vials and make our declaration before we say, this is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. You know, I heard this story. Well, today I'm going to be talking about the love of our Father towards us. You know, sometimes we have many misconceptions about certain things. And the only true and right way to think is the way the Word of God, or what it speaks to us and tells us. But, you know, I heard this story many years ago. And it was talking about, and it was a pastor that said this story. He heard it from someone or read it or something like that. But it was talking about two girls were playing, and they were playing on a railroad tracks. And as they were playing, they saw a train was coming. And so when they went to get off of the tracks, one of the girls, her foot got caught underneath the track, and so she was stuck. And so the other little girl got off the track, you know, away from where the train was coming. But the other little girl, because she was, her foot was stuck, she couldn't get off of the track. So the other little girl ran to her and was trying to pull that foot out, trying to get it out so that they could both get on the side. So as the train would pass, they could wave to it. You know, that's about it. Well, you know, after trying and trying, and hollering, and no one would come and help, you know, because no one would hurt, that she couldn't get the foot unstuck from underneath the track. So the girl was just there, trying to stand up, basically, but stuck. And the train kept coming closer and closer. The other little girl stood back from the tracks, saying, what else could I do, or what can I do? And it says, and the train got closer. The other little girl that was not on the track said, what can I do? And all of a sudden, it says, the girl went up to the girl that was stuck and just took her in her arms and just hugged her. Now, you know, that girl knowing that the train's coming and what would happen to both of them. But she just took her in her arms and just hugged her tight. And all of a sudden, a train came. And we can't imagine what happened. And both of them died. You know, the girl that her foot was not stuck under the track had the choice to make what she would do. What she would do. It kind of hurts my heart, but it soothes my heart also that someone actually really cared enough to give their life for someone else. And we know the scripture, probably one of the most famous scriptures in the whole Bible that a lot of people know of and a lot of people quote, and that's John 3:16. And it says this, and we know the scripture says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you know, we think of the Father's love towards us. And we know that it's only the Father that could love us the way that we need to be loved. And we know it's the Father that has, as we were stuck in sin and without God on the track to hell, basically, because we weren't going to heaven, and we needed Jesus to open that door to give us life unto him, unto the Father, that it says that Jesus came down from heaven above. He came down and gave his life, his blood, to appease the Father, so that we could be reconciled back unto the Father, because there was a separation. You know, before Jesus died on the cross, and you may know this, but maybe not, I don't know. You know that as people would die that knew God, as far as try to serve him to the best of their ability, like Abraham and Noah and Peter and Paul and all these people, that when they died, that they actually did not go to heaven. They didn't go to heaven. They went to a place that was called, if you want to say it in scripture, it says paradise, basically. And what it was a place in part of hell, basically, because there's different compartments, that it was a place set up that people would go to that place because the blood of Jesus had not died yet. So the price had been paid. So heaven could not be their home, but one day would be. And it says that that place where they would, where God would allow them to go, was not a place of torment. But there was a gulf in between that place of paradise, which was a part of hell, basically, just a different compartment. There was a gulf between it. Then there was hell, the burning side of hell. But it says that as people would die before Jesus died on the cross and paid the price, that they would go to that place, and the Father would console them and help them and be with them. They were not tormented. They were none of that stuff. But as soon as Jesus died on the cross, which made the difference, because of the love of the Father, for God so loved the world. Now, it's not meaning, and I know some people might, but it's not meaning that he loved the trees or the mountains. And yes, he made these things upon the earth. But Jesus, the Son, Jesus didn't die on the cross for the tree. And he didn't die on the cross for animals. But he died on the cross for the human race, because he loves the human race. Because we are made in the image of our Father. We are made in the image of our God. And so Jesus came, commissioned by the Father, to come and die upon the cross to pay the penalty of sin. And when Jesus brought that blood back to the Father, it says that he accepted it, that it is payment for all sin from the past, the present, and the future. And so as we go to the Father accepts the blood of his Son. And as he accepts that, as we go before him and we ask forgiveness of all things that we have done that we know it's wrong, and the Spirit of God convicts us of, that he forgives us and is done away with. But it says when Jesus did his part, it says that he went to that part of hell, and he got all these people. And we know there's all kind of other stuff that happened, but he got these people and brought them to a place called heaven with God the Father. See, for God so loved the world that he would not allow us to stay in a place where we would be forever separated from the Father. Can you imagine? That the Father said, Jesus, would you go and die? Let me tell you, he was 100% God, but yet he was 100% man. That he felt all the things that happened to him. Just as we feel when something attacks us or hurts us or hits us, we feel the pain. Jesus felt the pain of all the beatings, the pulling of the beard, the pulling of the hair, the crown of thorns being thrust upon his head. He felt all those things. He felt the pain. But yet he did it in obedience to the Father so that we, you and I, can have freedom today because of the love of the Father towards us. And because of the love of Jesus towards us, that we can have freedom and liberty today. The love of the Father towards us. The love of the Father towards us. What a great scripture. I mean, I just thank you, Lord, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Just as that little girl gave her life for the other one, just to hold her in her arms. You know, the Father loves you. And sometimes that's hard for us to accept. Because this is what we think of first. The Father loves me. Yes. But then our mind goes to all the wrong we've done. Why? The scripture says that the Father loves us. Loves us. I mean, he adores you. Can you imagine that? Doesn't matter what color hair we have. Doesn't matter what color eyes we have. It doesn't matter to him where we work, if we work, or what we do. He just loves us. It's a compassion that comes out from the inner core of his being towards you and I. But when we think of God actually loving us with everything within him, we often think of why. And we often, our minds go to all the negative things that we have done. But if we'd only realize this, that when God says that we ask forgiveness, that he remembers it no more. And that's hard for us to understand. We don't understand. I know I read it and I believe it, but I don't understand how he can do it. How can he not remember what I did 10 years ago, or 5 years ago, or yesterday? That wasn't good. But it's actually true. That he doesn't remember. Now, the devil remembers, and we remember, and people remember, you know. But our God, your God, chooses not to remember. That's a big statement. Our God, your God, chooses not to remember those things. No more. But anytime we start to grow in the things of God, what happens? When you start to grow in the things of God, the devil remembers and wants to discourage you and tell you you're not worthy to go on with God. But you see, we know the devil is what? A liar. And there's no truth in him. But we know God is all truth. And God says he remembers it no more. And he says, Job, just come on. And keep on pushing in. And learning the things of God. And letting God move in our hearts and lives like never before. And we become what God wants us to be. In who he is. That we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, some people have that scripture totally messed up. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Not because of anything we've done. I mean, you have people come and say, man, I'm the righteousness of God, thinking, this is what I have done. I do this, I do that, and that's when we get into problems. We are the righteousness of God upon the earth because of what his son did for us. And that's it. And we've accepted and we believed what he did, and in doing that, he makes us righteous because of the blood of Jesus that covers and takes away things that are not right between us and God. So we stand in, Jesus stands in the middle, making us righteous to the Father, which makes us righteous upon the earth because of what he did and nothing of what we've done. And so that makes us righteous. The love of the Father towards us. The love of the Father. Love is a distinguishing mark of Christians and something the Lord commanded us to do. I want you to turn to John 13, 34, and 35. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John 13, 34. Now Jesus said, we should love others as God loves us, selfishly, selflessly, sacrificially, and understanding and forgiveness. We're to love others. That's right. Look at verse 34. It says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another. Now, this is something that man tries to make up. Try to push love. I cannot make myself love people. That's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, one of them, that comes, the fruit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, the nine fruits of the Spirit, one fruit. I cannot make myself love, but God, in his infinite mercy and grace and power, can put love in my heart towards people. Now, that doesn't mean that we love the things that people do. You know, there are some pastors that I don't like the things they do at all. I don't like the way they take advantage of people. I don't like the way they rule over people. Because God never said rule. God said just lead and people will follow. See, there's a difference. I don't like the way some people do things in general. I don't think it's right the way some people use their money and what they do. There's just certain things I don't like. I don't think it's according to the word of God. But as far as my love towards them, I have to love them, not accept everything they do that is right. That's just like what Jesus did. He loved the sinner, but hate the sin. That's just like the lady caught in adultery. Remember the scenario of the story, the lady caught in adultery? I mean, you know, that's a horrible thing. That's horrible. Both of them, the guy and the lady. I mean, they talk about the lady, but the guy too. This is all horrible. But the best thing she ever did was, well, they did, was bring her to the King of Kings. They didn't realize. They thought destruction was coming to her, but Jesus gave her life. They brought her, you know the story, they brought her, and all he did was get on the ground, or the sand, and he started to write in the sand, and one by one, as he looked up, they started to flee, all these accusers. And he looked at her, and he says, I don't condemn you, and there's no one else here that will condemn you. Go and sin no more. The love that protruded out of him. And I know it's hard today. You know, we live in a society that says, well, you have to love everybody. And that means you got to accept everything that everybody does. No, 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 no. Jesus didn't. Jesus called out sin when it was sin. Jesus called out evil when it was evil. Jesus called out things that were not good when it was not good. But he called out things that were good when it was good. The reason we call out things is because we really love these people. And Jesus really loves us. So he'll call out things that we need to be called out upon. But But Jesus loved this lady enough to forgive her and tell her, go and sin no more. Go and do no evil no more. Accept me as your Lord and Savior. Live for me. We're to love people. We're to love them. But yet, we can't accept everything they do as right. And society has changed, and we know it. That if you stand and say, no, that is not right. Whether you hate me? No. I don't hate you. I don't hate you. No. I love you enough to tell you the truth, though. You know, we know the last thing the Supreme Court just passed, you know, this gay marriage stuff. We know it's not right as Christians. We know it. It is not right. It is actually an abomination unto God. It actually is. We know it's not right. Because what's going to stop just two men or two women coming together in marriage? What's going to be tomorrow? A dog and a man? Or whatever animal and a woman? You know, what's the difference? What about a child? Let me tell you, it's opening up a can of worms. A 10-year-old girl and a 50-year-old man? What's going to happen? See, when sin starts to abound, a grievance comes over a country. They start to grieve. But you see, we still have to love these people, no matter what. No matter what. You know, oftentimes, you know, even in Abbeville, you know, you pass by workers that they're in the penitentiary, they're in the jail, but they're using them to clean up stuff. And that's great, working with their hands. Always try to acknowledge them, always. If I'm passing by them, good morning, good afternoon. It's more for me that I never think that I'm better than them. You might say, well, Pastor, you're not in jail. I know that. Thank you. And none of us are, you know, in that scenario. But we should never think more highly than what we are. Never. Because God has a way of bringing us down to humble. And so always try to acknowledge people. How you doing? Good morning. Good afternoon. Because you see, I don't know their past, and I don't know what's going on and what happened in their lives that made them turn in that direction. Why they did the crime they did. And if it wasn't for the mercy of God, I could be in the same place as they are today. But because of the mercy and the grace and the love of God and Him coming and intervening in my way of life, that God has turned things around in my life into a better direction or a better way to live and serve Him. And so we need to show the love of God. Just as that little girl put her arms around that other girl, knowing her fate would be death. We need to love people. And it's not easy sometimes. But I've learned, and I think I've gotten maybe a little bit of a how. The more we love God, the more we love Jesus, the more we love the Holy Spirit, the more we will love His people and the human race. You might say, you know, and look, you're going to love your family more than you love other people. That's just how it is. There's a different love, but to love them with all your heart and for who they are. You know, one thing, when I'm talking to somebody on the phone, especially my family, at the end of the conversation, I always try to remember to tell them I love them. Always. Always. Now, do I always do it? I forget sometimes. You know, when you're in a rush and you have 100 things to do and about you can only accomplish about 5, you know. But you know what? Your family's your family. You know, your son needs to hear that you love him. You may not like everything they do, but they need to hear it. Your daughters need to hear that you love her. You may not like everything she does. You may not even like the way she's living. But you love her. You love her. Because you see, the world is out there ready to bring destruction to families. But God is saying, my people show love, my love, agape love, towards the people. And then there's a difference from accepting everything they do, but showing a love and a concern for them. You may not like how people look. You may not like how people smell. You may not like the way what people are living in. You talk about horror stories, I can bring you to some horror stories. Let me tell you, when you think that house is vacant, there's no curtains in there, in that house, the porch is about to cave in, you look at that, you know, the utility, the electrical box thing, and you see nothing in there, it's all gone. And one day you just happen to pass by and you're thinking, well, I can't give this letter, you know. This. And then you find out they're working something in their yard, doing something, and somebody lives in that. You give it to them and you walk away and you say, Lord, thank you for blessing me, Lord. Thank you for having concern about my life. Thank you. That you know, sometimes we can get in such a place where we think, Lord, everything's caving in on us, but not realizing how blessed we are. That we can wake up with air conditioning, and we can wake up, you know, on a nice bed, have food in our freezers, and vehicles to drive, and, you know, all that stuff, whatever. That we are so blessed because of the love of the Father towards us. And how we need to express that love towards people. Now, you know, I'm not saying, hey, go out and give all your money away. You got to be very wise with that stuff. Hey, look, I've been asked, somebody asked me, do you have 25 cents I can have? I never give money on the road. Never. Not that far as on the route, because you know why? If you do it once, they'll always be at your truck wanting a dollar, then a $2, and it's all going towards stuff that's not good most of the time, honestly. Somebody asking for a nickel. Just kind of, you look at them, a nickel? What you want? A nickel. You know? But you see, people are desperate. Desperate. Without God, there's a desperation, people. Without God. But you see, the love of the Father towards us. The love of the Father towards us. First John 4. Oh no, did I read that scripture? No, I didn't. Huh? Oh yeah, I did. Well, let's read it. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, and you have love one towards another. You see, we're to love people so that they know that we are his disciples. That's one thing that will distinguish us from all others. Loving our fellow brothers and sisters. We may not like everything they do. We may not like the decisions they make, but we love them. We love them and care about their lives, care about what they do. I want you to turn to 1 John 4:19. 1 John 4:19. Now look at this. I know God says for us to have the 1 John 4:19, the epistle of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John. It's the 1st John. It says this, we love him because he first loved us. Now this is John that's writing this, but it's under the inspiration of, we love him because he, who? The Father loved us. What? First, because he first loved us. The outward appearance of love being manifested was never that we love God first. It was never that way. God, in the beginning, we know he created all kinds of stuff, first day, third day, whatever. In the sixth day, he created man. He breathed into Adam the breath of life, which was blood that was transfused unto him. There's life in the blood. And then he created Eve from Adam, brought them together. But they were created by God. You were created by God. God loved us first, even before man was created upon the earth. He loved us. I said, well, how can he love us, you know, even though we weren't created? Because it was in the mind of God that man would be created. He would make us until his love was protruded towards us. Because God, so he gave love to us first. We can see how much he cared about Adam and Eve when they messed up. He came in there in the cool of the day, as he always did, and walked around and said, Adam and Eve, where are you? Where are you? And they were nowhere to be found because they were trying to cover themselves from the shame. But you see, before that, the glory of the Father was around about, which was the Holy Spirit, the glory, the Shekinah glory of our Father was around about them. They could not see their nakedness. As we see that, like today, because of the glory around them, they had no shame. That was their hope. Can you imagine Adam and Eve's clothes at the beginning, if you want to put it that way, was the Shekinah glory of the Father around about them. And that's amazing. That we have to buy clothes or make clothes to cover our bodies. Because of the sin nature now. But before then, the glory of the Father was their clothes. They didn't have any sin in them. That sin nature was not even awakened or awoke on the inside of them at all. It was dead. There was nothing. It wasn't even there. But when they did evil and sin, it became alive. And they knew something wasn't right. And so they took fig leaves and sewed them together and did all that stuff. But the love of the Father, he knew what they did. And let me tell you, we know when we mess up. Huh? We know when we mess up. Don't hide from God. There are many people not here today because they're hiding. Because they know they messed up and they're hiding from God. They don't want God to touch them. No. It's like they don't want to feel the presence. No. Don't run. Because you see, we've all messed up. And we're all going to mess up again one day because of the sin nature in us. That doesn't mean we run to sin to do evil. We stay away from it, but things happen. And we may fall. But this is the thing we do. We run to God. Run to God. Run to God. Run to him. Run to him. You might say, how do I run? Just fall on your knees before him. Say, Father, forgive me. Lord, have mercy and grace upon me. Lord, I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did at Calvary's cross, Lord. And strengthen my spirit, man. Strengthen me on the inside, Lord. And help me to do your will, Lord God. Help me to accomplish. And let me tell you, the Father comes in and takes those things away. And he makes us new again. The Father, in his infinite love for the human race, the Father knew they messed up. Have you ever thought the Father could have gone and stayed away? The Father could have stayed away. Why didn't he? I'm going to tell you the main thing. Because his love for the human beings. because of his love, he came that next day, calling out their names, "Where are you?" And after a while, there was a little answer from one of them, Adam or Eve, one of them. And he said, "Who told you you would make it?" And if, you know, all this blame game stuff, whatever. All a mess. But Jesus, or the Father, said, "I'll take care of it." He killed some animals, made him some clothes, gave it to them. And he took those same animals, there was a purpose, he used everything, and he sacrificed it. There was blood in the beginning, and there's going to be blood in the end. Because it's all through the cross of Calvary. And that blood of those animals depicted about what Jesus would do for us in helping us to accomplish his will upon the earth. And let me tell you, don't run from God at all. And I know it's not easy. I know I've been there. We've all been there. It's hard sometimes. But let me tell you, get by yourself somewhere, wherever you can, and just say, "Lord, help me." And let the presence of the Holy Ghost come in upon your life and change your life, helping him strengthen you. Because let me tell you something. Look at me. Look at me. The Father believes in you. And I know that's hard for us to take sometimes. Let me say it again. The Father believes in you. Let's say, what do you mean? He believes that you would take the Word of God and preach it to people so that their lives will be changed. We are channels of the love of God, and his power and his Spirit will help us to accomplish what God wants to accomplish upon the earth. The love of the Father. He believes in who you are. And he knows how to correct things in our hearts and lives. And he knows how to encourage us also. Amen. The love of the Father. God continually watches over us, providing for our needs. He protects and guides us and answers our prayers. The Lord may not always work in the time frame that we expect, but if we're faithful to wait on him, he will always come through for us according to his will. The best way to learn about God's deep concern for his children is to spend time reading his word, meditating on his word, and letting the Holy Spirit strengthen and give you guidance and to lead you and guide you in the right direction. If we devote ourselves to the Lord, we will discover that he is always caring towards us. Hebrews 13:5 says that he will never leave us nor forsake us. Never leave us nor forsake us. I want to read the scripture. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Look at starting with verse 17. Oh, God bless you. As we close here today, it says, verse 17, it says, "Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean things, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." You know, the scripture says that we're to separate ourselves from the world, but not isolation. And that's where man has gotten in trouble. Isolation. And we shouldn't do that. We're to separate. There are some things as Christians we're not to do. I mean, you know, we know what the Bible says, and we know what God says. But he says, you are my sons, and you are my daughters. And I thought as I read that a few days ago or so, I thought, Lord, thank you. That you know what? We are his sons, and we are his daughters. That God loves us so much that he has looked at us and said, you are my son. You are my daughter. You know, when you are born into a family, or when, you know, with a mother and a father, or if you are adopted by someone, a mother and a father, you have the privilege of when they pass away. Now, they have the right to give however they want to do it, whatever. But in a logical sense of things, when a mother and a father pass away, the belongings of that they have possessed upon the earth, even they may have inherited some stuff, they worked hard and bought stuff, they have money, they've saved, they've done a lot of things, hopefully. And so when that mother and that father pass away, the sons and the daughters have interest in it. They have a part of it. You know, they have two kids, they each get half of everything. You know, depending on how many kids, of their home, their possessions, everything they have. Because they are their sons and daughters. It's rightfully theirs. Rightfully theirs. And there's all kind of other circumstances, but you know, in a perfect scenario, that's what happens. And in God's infinite mercy, when we become sons and daughters of the living God, and we've accepted him as our Lord and Savior, he loves us and cares about us, every promise in the book, it says, is ours. We inherit everything that he says we can have. And we know we have a list of things. I mean, we have healing. We have divine direction. We have God providing for us. We have God taking an interest in our hearts and lives, giving the things that we need. I mean, we inherit what God has because Jesus died on the cross and giving that inheritance of the Father and what they possess in heaven to his people. So we can have the things, if we need it, we can have it from him. We just pray and we accept it and we say, Lord, thank you. If it's your will, we accept it, Lord. And so we are his sons and his daughters. And he loves us with everything within him. Because we go back to the first scripture that we read, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Praise God. The Father loves you. Jesus the Son loves you. And God the Holy Spirit loves you. We need to accept it. Not look at our things that we've done wrong or whatever. Accept his love and give it forth to the world. You may stand, please. Father, we thank you. Father, we give you praise and we give you honor, Lord God. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. Lord God, we just thank you for who you are, Lord. And Father, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that was in this place. And Father, we pray for a mighty move of your Spirit like never before. But Father, we just thank you for who you are, Lord God. Your love that you have given unto us, we accept it, Father. We thank you that you love us, Lord God. You approve of our lives, that you're working in our hearts and you're working in our lives, Lord. And Lord God, we pray that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts and lives like never before, Father, giving us direction and leadership, Lord God. We thank you for who you are, Lord God. We give you praise, we give you honor, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Look, guys, we appreciate you, we love you, and we thank you. Don't forget to pray for Cindy, if you could, this week. Lift her up in prayer, and I know there's many other people that need prayer, but just asking God to move upon the church.
Amen.
We appreciate you guys and love you. Y'all have a great week this week. Amen.